Well, we wrap up our series today. I know many people have enjoyed it. I hear many people have been downloading some of these sermons from the internet. Many people driving by or calling and asking questions about what that really means and about the sermon series. And I just want to give, if you heard anything good, I give the credit to Pastor Larry Osborne, who is the author of this book. But as you might imagine, I can't just simply take somebody else's work and just repeat it. So I've added a bunch of stuff in there for myself. So if you heard something that wasn't so great, that probably came from me. Okay, well, we are continuing on in it, and this is finally number 10, is that all dead people go to a better place. Now, we have all been there before, where we have gone to these funerals, and we go because we love the family, but we really know the person who just passed away is really a scoundrel. Can I just get an amen on that? And you go, and you sit there, and you hear the pastor say so many good and wonderful things about the person, and you walk away just rolling your eyes and thinking to yourself, if that guy got into heaven, I'll eat my hat. You got to be kidding me. This guy was a self-absorbed, dirty dog. Ain't no way he's in heaven. And yet pastors feel sometimes they feel compelled. And I'll give you a trick. And you can listen any time that I have done a service. There are some, I think of our own Ruth Bates, and I had no trouble proclaiming her heavenly reward. Can I get an amen on that? There are some folks that's just clear as a bell and saying, like, if she ain't getting in, I'm not getting in, because she was an awesome lady. And so there are some that are really clear. And then sometimes that I've been asked to do some that we're not so sure and not so clear about. And I will never pronounce somebody into heaven. We really have to be careful about pronouncing that because two reasons. One is we don't have all the information. We don't have all the pieces. And God does, and that's his job. We don't hold all the cards. We don't get to say. But there will also be surprises about if you do get to heaven, and I'm saying if, okay? Just because you're a member of the church doesn't mean you're getting into heaven. You have to be a member of Christ's family. Can I get an amen on that? And we're going to make that a little bit clearer here in just a minute and how you can be a part of that as well. But we also want to be careful about pronouncing because, number one, it's not ours to pronounce. And then number two is sometimes we give false hope to people who really have none. And all of it's done because we want to be nice and we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And in fact, Pastor Larry says, if you really want to start a mini riot, go to a funeral and just tell the unabashed truth about the person who's just passed away. Stand up, make a few remarks, and then sit back and watch the melee begin. You know, people getting upset about it and all that kind of stuff. But he also says this, and I will stand right by his side. If you don't like the teaching, don't blame me. Blame Jesus, all right? Because I want you to hear this. Jesus is the one who said, fear the one who can kill both body and soul, all right? Not just the body. People, they can kill our bodies, but they can't kill our souls. And Jesus protects our souls. But if you fear the one who can kill both body and soul, saying there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, there is a real place that's called hell. We need to fear the one. And folks, I'm just getting warmed up on what it really means is to fear the holy God, to fear the one who can kill both body and soul. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes. I'm speaking in halting language so you can understand me better. But because I'm just fascinated about what people hear. Sometimes they come back to me and say, well, I love when you said that. And I'm like, I don't remember saying that. It must be what you heard. So I want to be really clear and say, Jesus is the one who said, I am the only way to the Father. I am the only way for you to have eternal life with God. I am the only way that you have any hope of being in heaven forever. That's not being mean. That's just speaking the truth and just saying, we're not the one who sets up the rules. He is. He is God. He set up the rules. He's the one. The bad news is everybody is destined, not predestined. Everybody is destined for hell. All have fallen short of the glory of God. All right? All of us. But the good news is, for the few who find the narrow way, then we are invited in. It's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But Jesus said, only few will find it. He said, he's the one that says it is a narrow way. It is Jesus is the one who said that there will be many who will call my name on that day, and I will say, get away from me, I never knew you. Folks, that should make you shudder. That really should. It just say, am I really there? Am I really putting my full 100% faith and trust in Jesus Christ? And when I get there, when I see him face to face, is he going to tell me, get away from him, I never knew you? Or he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Come on in. I don't know about you, but those would be the most comforting words of all eternity. Well done, good and faithful servant. And it's not because you've done great things here on earth. It's because you have heard the message and responded, accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And it's Jesus who said to the church, got to wake up, church. He said it to the church. I wish that you were hot or cold. As it is, you are lukewarm, and I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. When you think and you're thinking about, he's teaching about to all the sinners and all those other people and all the people outside of the church and all the people inside of the church are saved. And I'm just telling you, that's not true. And it's Jesus that's giving us the wake-up call through John and saying, here's what I have against you. You have lost your first love. You are no longer hot for following me because life has invaded and you have fallen away. You have become complacent. And I will tell you, folks, I'm just now getting warmed up as a pastor and a preacher. I'm telling you, the conviction grows deeper and deeper in my soul that we cannot just come and sit and soak Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and nothing changes and everything just feels good and normal and everything's fine. It's not normal and it's not fine. We are calling for a true revival that can only come through the hope of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right. Here's a warning to some of you as well. So don't send me this email. Pastor Larry said he got an email one day from a leader in his church. A leader in his church. And the leader wrote that his daughter had been upset in the youth group because the youth leader was teaching that Jesus Christ is the only way and those of other religions have no hope and they are outside of Christ and they are outside of the favor of God. And he wrote and said, my little girl came home upset because we are a Christian family. We go to a Christian church. And what we teach is loving, kindness, and tolerance. So you need to straighten them out. Pastor Larry said, the writer was expecting him to go to the youth leader and verbally just take him out to the woodshed and reprimand him. When in fact, Larry said, what have I done? What have I been teaching? This isn't just somebody in my church. This is a leader in my church. And he went back and looked at his last few sermons and he said, you know what? I have proclaimed the very opposite. It's not just that we're supposed to be loving and kind. We are called to tell the truth and the truth of Jesus Christ. And if you are outside of Christ, you are outside of God. Period. And don't shoot the messenger. Put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We don't have to be mean. We don't have to be ugly. We're called to be loving and kind so that they see how we live and they want to be a part of our family. They want to know what's different about us and they want to come in. We are called to win some. And if you truly have an evangelistic heart and you truly care about people, then you will win some. And you will lose some. I'm just saying. It's up to them. But Pastor Larry went back and he looked at his sermons and he said, you know what? There's absolutely nothing wrong with what I've been preaching. What's wrong is the way this guy's been hearing and listening. You know, I found myself for many years talking bad about my church and my upbringing, saying, well, they should have done this and they should have done that. And they didn't teach me this and they didn't teach me that. And I have to wake up and realize and come to the mature place of saying, you know what? There's a good chance they were teaching it and I just didn't get it. We have to take personal responsibility for who we are and for our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ. Amen? All right. So, church, we have got to wake up. We, in the last, I'd say, 40, 50, 60 years, have turned God into a mamby-pamby, gushy, everyone's okay kind of God. We have overemphasized the love of God without a holy fear. We have become complacent. That is a bad word. That's a four-letter word. A complacent church. And I say that's even true for many of us. We have become complacent. And we've started listening to the world and the world who calls us narrow-minded bigots. And so that hurts our feelings because we're supposed to be loving and kind and not narrow-minded bigots. And so therefore we start telling everybody else what they're doing is okay. You're okay. I'm okay. Let's play nice in the pool together. And then one day God will call us all home. That is not true. That is not true. It is not biblical. All right. So we are called to not only know crystal clear for ourselves, where does our salvation lie? And 1 Peter says, you must stand ready for the reason that you have the hope of eternal life in Christ. You need to be ready. I will remind you, connect, grow, serve, and share. If you haven't taken these classes, next time they come around, you've got to get into them so that you know that you are right and that you are ready and prepared to share the message of Jesus Christ. We are called, we are all called to a higher standard of living in Christ. I want to share with you a passage that's going to be very controversial this morning. And I will tell you, I don't mind being controversial. Controversial just means you're not going with the mainstream, and we are called to a narrow way. This is going to be upsetting for some people. Don't argue with me. Argue with the scripture, because many things in here, it tells you time and time again. Don't take any one scripture out of context. You take them all together, but when you put them all together and you start weaving them together, you start seeing a consistent message of a holy God. A holy God that is separate from an unholy people. And a holy God who wanted to desperately be with his people, and so he provided his own son to be a sacrifice. If everybody's okay, then why the cross? If God could have just done anything else, don't you think a loving father would have done something other than giving his own son to die a torturous death on the cross? If everybody's okay, then there was no reason for the cross of Christ. Now, this is a letter from the Apostle Paul that's written to the church in Corinth. And I'd love for you to go home and read the broader context. And this is really teaching us how we're supposed to act as Christians. He's teaching to the church. I'm going to invite you to stand now, if you're able, for the reading of God's holy word. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 7 through 11. Says the very fact that you have lawsuits among you means you have been completely defeated already. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? Instead, you yourselves cheat and do wrong, and you do this to your brothers and sisters. Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. That's called the aorist tense. That's the past tense. You were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. This is the word of God. For the people of God, thanks be to God, and you may be seated. All right, so just looking at this passage and even the broader context of what it really is trying to teach us, there's one message that stands out crystal clear to us, and it says, number one, is those who die outside of Christ will not be in heaven. Okay? No matter, and this leaves out some people. Yes, it leaves out those horrible drug dealers and those horrible abusers. But you know what? It also leaves out that nice man, that nice lady next door who do not go to church, who do not believe in Jesus Christ, but they're really good people and they've given their entire lives to the Salvation Army. but it is left outside. It's not about how nice you are that gets you into the kingdom of God. Folks, I hope you're hearing this. I hope you get cut to the heart and saying, I can't sit idly by while other people are going off to hell. Hell is not the devil's playground. Hell is a horrible place of torment. And you know what I think the greatest torment is saying? You know what? All those crazy Christians that what they were talking about that whole time, they were right. And now I am cut off eternally because I was so pigheaded. I refused to listen. I didn't like what they had to say. So I lived my life my way. I did my own thing. And now I'm getting my just resorts. I could have been in heaven with God. If God is light and God is love and God is comfort and God is peace, then hell is the complete opposite of all of those things. And I want you to hear this. If you truly understand hell, you would never casually wish it on anyone. It's that bad. And most of the people you know are likely headed there. Jesus said, it's a narrow way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And what the Apostle Paul is writing, he's writing to the church and he's saying, I want you to grow up so badly. I want you to get it. I want you to stop acting worldly. And folks, I think that's exactly relevant for us today is because we have let the society influence us on what we think and how we act and what we do. Instead of us being strong in our convictions and saying, that's not right, this is right. This is how we should live. This is how we should treat each other. These are the things that we should believe in. These are the things we put our hope and our trust in. The things of Jesus and Him alone. Those who die outside of Christ will not be in heaven. The good news is those outside of Christ can be on the inside. Those outside of Christ are the very ones that he's calling out to. When he says, when I leave the 99, when he leaves us here, because we are already the ones that are part of the family, that we're already here, but he's already walking the streets. He's out there into the communities. He's out to the far ends of the world and inviting people to come in. That's what Jesus Christ does by the power of his Spirit. There is nowhere in this world that he can't go, where he can't be, where he's not already at work. We cannot feel like we are defeated because we're all alone. We don't have any power of our own. We don't have any power of our own, but we are not alone. The Holy Spirit empowers us with the message and the hope and the trust of Jesus Christ. So we don't have to sit idly by while other people are dying just so we can say a few nice things at their funeral and they're just empty, polite sayings that are not true. The good news, we are the bearers of the good news. Lift your heads up. Do not let the world tell you shame on you for being narrow-minded and shame on you for being bigoted. We are narrow-minded. We are bigoted. We need to own it because we know there is only one way, and that through Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? But the idea is not, ha, 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 we're in and you're not. We're going to heaven. You're not. You're on the outside. You go to hell. That's not what we're supposed to be about. Because we know it's only by the grace of Jesus Christ that we ever stand a chance in getting into heaven. When we understand how much God has forgiven us for, when we get off our arrogance and we get onto our knees, then we begin to understand, and then therefore we can have pity on those who are on the outside. We can go to them and not shame them for who they are or why they are. Why would you go to somebody that's worldly and expect them to think anything different than worldly thoughts? But we have a tendency to be the church lady. Isn't that special? Some of you know the church lady from SNL. Some of you don't. That's okay. But we have this tendency for some of us to be so arrogant, we look down at our nose at the rest of the world and think, you're just scum. You're just going to hell. And what we should be doing is crying. When is the last time you cried for somebody who was outside of Christ and not in your family. You should be crying for those over your family, absolutely. But do you really care enough about those you don't even know? And by the thousands, every day are going to an eternity in hell. Do you care? Do you weep? Do you pray? When we are on the inside, it's only because of the grace of Jesus Christ and not because of what we've done or how good we are or the choices that we've made along the way. It's because of the grace that comes through God. And we have the opportunity to reach back out, to give them a hand up and invite them to come to the inside. Can I get an amen? And then number three is those in Christ are constantly being purified. Do not get comfortable because you gave your life when you were 8 years old. You walked the aisle when you were 12 years old. You were splashed. You were sprinkled. You were poured. You were dunked until you bubbled. Doesn't matter. Any and all of that. And you might have been done it for 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, and some of you for 90 years. God bless you for that. But you're not done yet. There is always more of God to get in us and more of us to have of God. And so we are constantly, you know why we have trials? Because we are being purified. We have to bubble out all the wrong thinking and all the wrong judgments and all the wrong choices. All that has to come out of us so that we can be crucified with Christ. We crucify the flesh. We crucify all the bad things that are inside of us so that we can live more and more as Jesus Christ. And then people will see something different in us and want to know. So folks, we are not done yet just because we've been a part of the church for a long time. It's because we are continually being not only justified, but being sanctified is Paul's word. Now, he uses it in the past tense. I think this is interesting here that you have been sanctified. But you know what? He is speaking in a timeless fashion. He is saying that those of you who are in Christ and who will always be in Christ, you have been sanctified, even though you have not achieved it for yourself right this time, now in time. But you will be, you have been, and you are, and you're going to be sanctified through Jesus Christ. So we're called to be purified. And then finally, number four, and you don't have this one. I made this one up this morning. When we have a responsibility to get it right and to tell others, okay, you can't just be complacent and excited that you and your closest loved ones, your family and friends, they're all in. We need to have a burden for the ones who are not in. We need to have a burden for this community. We need to have a burden for the people who are on the outside. And we have to stand ready with the hope for the reason that we have in Jesus Christ and the invitation for others to come in. People do not need nice. Not telling others that they are broken and in need of major soul surgery is like telling the 400-pound man with a massive heart attack that it's only indigestion because you don't want to hurt his feelings or tell him what he really needs. Some of you have been on the other end of a doctor telling you exactly what's broken. And even though you didn't want to have to go through it, you knew that it was the best thing and the right thing to do. Can I get an amen? Anybody that's ever had any kind of surgery, you never think, oh boy, I get to have surgery. You're saying, oh Lord, be with me. I have to have surgery. And this is not going to be nice. And it's going to be painful, and there's going to be recovery that comes along with it afterwards. But you know what? It's the right thing to do, and I can't wait to look on the other side. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. We are called to love others enough to tell them the truth in Jesus Christ. All dead people do not go to a better place. Only those who have received the grace of Jesus Christ will be there. Let's pray. Fathers, we've come before you this morning. Father, we have had an exciting day where we received some new members. Maybe after this message, some are regretting it. I don't know. But Father, I'm not called to just be nice to people. I'm not just called just to say things that don't hurt anybody's feelings. In fact, Father, if we don't ever hurt anybody's feelings, then nobody gets changed. We have to call it like it is. We have to call it like we see it in Scripture. Father, there, if I was preaching my will, I would preach something different. But Father, it's not my will, but yours. It's not my way, but yours. And Father, everything that I preach comes from your Holy Scriptures. Lord, I just pray that everyone would understand the heart of this preacher here this morning. I pray that everyone would come to a crystal clear realization and understanding about the truth of heaven and hell, eternity, and being with you or being outside. And Father, how horrible it is for those who are on the outside. First of all, checking ourselves for our own salvation. And are we truly living the life that says, yes, my life exhibits a life that is totally devoted to Jesus Christ? But also, Father, that you would just fill us so much with your grace and knowledge and understanding that we would understand that we are only here, we are only on the inside by your grace and by our choice to come, to choose, to accept you, to lay our lives down before you, and to be invited into an even better life. And then, Father, because of that, when we are cut to the heart, when we understand who we are outside of Christ, then we can truly understand who we are inside of Christ and by his grace and his mercy. And then when we prepare to leave this place, we don't go out into the world just being angry with the world for acting like they're supposed to act. But Father, we go out with people of grace and love, not telling them all the things that they're doing wrong, but Father, inviting them in to a different life and to a different way. And then letting you reveal into their lives the things that they know that they need to change, so that they too can be on the inside. Father, I pray for this church. I pray for Lakeshore United Methodist Church. I pray for this revival. It's not a revival that I can bring on my own or my excitement or my energy. Father, it's only by your Holy Spirit. And humbly, I just lay myself down before you and pray that you would just pour out your Holy Spirit upon this place, upon these people, that we would truly seek you, that we would understand your word, your will, your way, be drawn deeper and deeper into a life inside of you. So the Father, that as long as we live here on this earth, then we can shine our lights bright for you into the darkness so that others may know the way, the truth, and the life of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy and pray that you'd be with us and bless us and this teaching to our understanding. And it's in Christ's name we pray. And everybody in the Lord said,